You're tuned to the Curb Your Dogma podcast. And now here is your dangerously underqualified host, Dr. Maury Robertson.
One of the hardest things in life to deal with is the sense of futility, that there's no point to life. We'll be addressing this issue head on in today's episode, The Meaning of Life. Hello, my friend, and welcome again to Curb Your Dogma, where we leave the beaten path to follow Christ. Well, the beaten path of this world is one of futility. It just is. I think, you know, I look around at this world and I just see a lot of people who feel blah about everything. You know, we put on a happy face, we go see a movie, we do something to try to get our minds off it. But there is an underlying question that erodes every plan, every dream, every hope, every happiness. And that underlying issue, that underlying decay is we just don't know what the point of it all is. You live for a little while, you squirm around on this planet, then you die and they throw you under the ground. And that's just not very much to live for, not very inspirational. One of the things Jesus did, in fact, I want to say the main thing Jesus did was to give us a way of viewing our life that is an alternative to this. In fact, it's not just another way to think about life. It's like peeling back some blinders that we have on to see what is really true. And what is really true is a God who loves us and a kingdom of God that will extend into the ages of the ages. And that actually what we feel, you know, what drives us, this sense that there's more to life, that there's reality to this. And Christ revealed that by the way he treated people, by his encounters with darkness and evil and sin and sickness, he revealed the power of the kingdom. And of course, ultimately, by loving us and going to the cross and rising from the dead to enter into the kingdom and to open the door to it. Now, we talk a lot about this sort of thing in the Christian community, but frankly, I don't think we're very good at actually entering the kingdom, at really living by the kingdom mindset. And we've been trying to do this over the past few weeks, to look at what really the core teachings of Jesus are and to live them. Over the past 5 weeks, we've been trying to do this. We've been following this fictitious character, Walker, who actually has a lot in common with me. You probably have figured that out. But we've been following this guy named Walker, and as he's gone through a tragic experience and the futility of this world to find meaning, we've been getting daily devotionals that have tried to drive these closer to home. Well, today we're kind of going to put it all together with the issue of purpose. We're going to take the seven core teachings of Jesus and try to answer the big question, what is the meaning of life? So without further ado, let's get started. It had been 9 months since Lizzie's death. Walker was working in his aisle at the lumber depot, rearranging extension cords. The old depression had set in. He stared at a coil of orange extension cord in his hand. Everything seemed so stupid, so meaningless. It wasn't that his life was all bad. Lizzie's death was still a wound, but there were days when it was becoming tolerable. Angela had been right. Every now and then, he even smiled. Amy and Angela's gift had taken care of the medical bills, and Connie had gone back to teaching third grade. Between their two incomes, they were even making fast progress on their debt. There was light at the end of the tunnel. They were even saving for a trip to Paris. Life was good. So why was he so gloomy? Walker looked at his watch and was relieved to see that his shift was over. He went to the employees' break room to get his coat. It was strangely quiet. He was hungry, so he bought a Snickers bar from the vending machine and sat on a plastic folding table to eat it, letting his feet swing back and forth. He loved Snickers. They were just the right mix of salty peanuts, sweet caramel, and chocolate. He let the caramel dissolve in his mouth until the perfect moment to crunch the peanuts. He was feeling better. He put the last piece in his mouth. The sense of well-being dissolved with the last bit of caramel. A wave of gloom swept back over him. That's the problem, he thought. It always ends. Everything always ends. The image of Lizzie's smile filled his mind, and he felt a sharp pain as though it were the day she died. Thought this was supposed to get easier, he thought. As the pain ebbed away, he began to think of his future. He was excited to go to Paris. It was a bright spot in his world with Connie, something to look forward to. But after Paris, then what? Paris was a Snickers bar, to be followed by another long, dull stretch at the Lumber Depot. It all seemed so pointless. His feet slowed to a stop, and he sat motionless. "Here again?" said the voice. "Where?" he replied. "Brokenness, the vanity of life, the doorway to my kingdom." "Some door," said Walker. "I am the door," said the voice. "What you feel is not the door, but the emptiness of life outside the door. Darkness has driven you home again." "Home to what?" said Walker. "Home to life," said the voice. "Real life." "Real life," said Walker bitterly. "I've heard those empty words my whole life. It's an empty slogan. We sing about it, we talk about it, but I can tell no one really experiences it. I know I don't." "Never?" asked the voice. "Well, every now and then I get a spark of life, but never anything I would call real life. My life is a long, dull grind with tiny little glimpses of something better. Real life? I don't even know what you mean." "Do you remember the night Lizzie was in the hospital?" said the voice. "When I asked you to trust me?" "Of course." "Well, do you?" "I did. That was one of those glimpses. It all seemed clear in that moment. Then Lizzie died. Now things are back to normal, back to the same old meaningless life, except I feel a big hole where Lizzie used to be." "Your life seems meaningless because you've fallen for the lie of a meaningless world," said the voice. "You've fallen for the lie of materialism. You are a consumer, consumed by consuming, don't you see? If the world is meaningless, your life can have no meaning. But life is not meaningless. Everything that happened has been to draw you out of the lie and into the truth." "What is truth?" asked Walker. "I am the truth," said the voice, "and I have come to give you life." "But how?" "I have allowed you to face the deepest possible pain in this world, the loss of your only child. I plunged you deep into the absurdity of this life, and you found me even there. But it isn't just Lizzie's death. You feel the vanity everywhere, in the dullness of your job, in that last bite of Snickers dissolving in your mouth, in your awareness that Paris will not satisfy your longing." "I definitely see there's no escaping the vanity of life," said Walker. "But there is an escape," said the voice. "I have shown you the vanity of life in a world without me. You consider this a curse, but it was a gift. You understand the vanity of this world. It has led you to my kingdom. I am inviting you to live in my kingdom." "But it all seems so unreal," said Walker. "You're asking me to enter a kingdom I can't even see." "You can certainly see the brokenness of this world," said the voice. "That takes no special insight. And you're wrong to say that my kingdom is invisible. You have seen it in nature. You have felt it in the love of your wife and the kindness of Angela. You have experienced the joy of the coming age in Lizzie's smile. You have felt it in my presence with you in everything. Walker, do you understand? I am inviting you to enter my kingdom. That's where the life is." "But how?" asked Walker. "What do you want me to do?" "It's not something you do," said the voice. "It's a way of seeing. It's like putting on a different set of glasses. Through the lens of this fallen world, all you see is brokenness. But when you look through the lens of my kingdom, you see that it is already here." "But I'm already a Christian," said Walker. "Why haven't I experienced this?" "Because you thought being a Christian was a religious ritual to get you to heaven when you died. Following me is not a religious ritual. It is a way of seeing, a way of living that brings heaven to earth while you live. That's why I teach my followers to pray, 'Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.' You will experience real life when you learn to live by trust, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." "Love?" The door to the break room opened, and Walker's boss Susan came in. "You look lost in thought," she said. Just relaxing, replied Walker, jumping off the table and snatching his coat. Let's find some place where we can really talk, said the voice. Walker had the next 3 days off. He decided to take a solo backpack trip. Connie hated it when Walker did this. It seemed like every year some hiker disappeared in the wilderness, never to be seen again. She was sure he would be next. Reluctantly, she gave him her blessing, and he left. Walker drove to his favorite trailhead in the High Sierras. He laced up his boots, shouldered his pack, and began to hike. The first few steps always felt so wonderful. He thought of what John Muir had said. Climb the mountains and get their good tidings. Nature's peace will flow into you as sunshine flows into trees. The winds will blow their own freshness into you, and the storms their energy, while cares drop off like autumn leaves. Now that I understand, thought Walker. Walker walked in solitude for nearly 10 miles, thinking about nothing. The silence was soothing. He heard the crunch of the trail beneath his boots and filled his lungs with the crisp air. He felt a oneness with the trees, the squirrels, and the occasional hawk that floated overhead. Toward evening, beams of light hit the granite peaks and made them look like they were on fire. Walker was aware of being in the presence of God. Then, with a thud, he remembered the electronics aisle at the lumber depot. I don't want to go back, he said out loud, looking up longingly at the mountains. I just want to stay here. What is the purpose of those mountains? Asked the voice. The mountains? Asked Walker. I never really thought about it. They're just there. But why are they there? What is their purpose? To be inspirational? Guessed Walker. To be glorious, said the voice. I made them to be glorious. That is their purpose. And Walker, that is your purpose. To be glorious, said Walker. I don't feel very glorious. I sure can't compete with those mountains. You're wrong, said the voice. How can I possibly be like those mountains? Asked Walker. When you face the brokenness of this world and live by trust, hope, and love, you show my glory as surely as those mountains shine in the sun. I definitely see this world's brokenness, said Walker. I'm slowly learning to trust you and even to hope in the coming age. I can't wait to see Lizzie. Yes, said the voice, but there is one thing more, the greatest of all. Let's see, brokenness, trust, hope, and love, said Walker slowly. Love. Help me understand. Do you remember Angela on that terrible night when Lizzie went to the emergency room? Asked the voice. How could I forget, said Walker, the way she was there for me, the way she understood. Was that as glorious as those mountains? Yes, said Walker. You see, when you love other people, you show my love, my glory, my kingdom, just like those mountains. One day you will be safely home, as Lizzie is. You will no longer need to trust. You won't need hope in my kingdom because you will see it with your own eyes. Trust and hope are temporary, but love, love is forever. That is why it is the greatest. Walker became excited. And love can come to the electronics aisle at the lumber depot. In fact, because people don't expect it there, it will seem even brighter, like light in the darkness. Somehow Walker knew the voice had smiled. Does Angela seem fulfilled? Asked the voice. Yes, she does, replied Walker. How is that possible? Said the voice. She has the same job as you, and you are miserable. Love, said Walker. Right, said the voice. To live in my love, to love as I have loved you, this is your glory. It makes you come alive. And I can do that anywhere, said Walker, even in the electronics aisle. But that's not all, said the voice. How do you love? By caring for people, by accepting them, by going out of my way to meet their needs, said Walker. Exactly right, said the voice. But there is something else. Something more specific. Do you remember Angela's spaghetti sauce? Of course, laughed Walker. Who could forget that? Talk about glory. What a gift. I gave Angela that gift. She shared it with you. You felt my glory in it. And what about Amy? What was her gift? $35,000, said Walker, embarrassed at his crass mention of money. Don't be embarrassed, said the voice. I have given Amy the ability to make and give money. She delights in it. She also cares for children in the pediatric ward. That is her gift and her glory. Amy and Angela are very gifted, said Walker. But what about you, Walker, said the voice. What is your gift? I've never thought of myself as gifted, said Walker. He walked in silence for a while. I guess I've always loved building fly rods. I'm pretty good at that. Pretty good? Asked the voice. Okay, I'm great at it. You're great at it. You love doing it. You love sharing it. Wouldn't you call that a gift? Yes, said Walker, and thank you. He paused awkwardly. He realized he had never said that before. You're welcome, said the voice. But why aren't you building fly rods? I don't know, Walker said. It just seems like a selfish hobby. There's no money in it. There's no money in the mountains either, said the voice. Are they a waste? Don't you see? Everything I create has a purpose. Everything has a gift. The greatest thing anything can be is itself. This goes for you. To be yourself and express your gifts is your highest calling, your deepest purpose, and our greatest glory. Our greatest glory? Asked Walker. Our greatest glory, said the voice. When you express yourself as I have made you to be, you live in me, and I live in you. We share the glory. But life doesn't work that way. We can't all do what we want, protested Walker. The fallen world is a machine, said the voice. It measures glory only in dollars and sees people as cogs. My kingdom is not like that. I make everything with a unique purpose and glory. Walker sat down on a huge slab of glaciated granite to eat an energy bar. He felt the rough stone through his hiking pants. A bee buzzed energetically around a flower by his right arm. The trees swayed in the gentle breeze. Cumulus clouds were piling up in the east like endless mounds of whipped cream. A giant ant lugged a fallen crumb from his energy bar off to a hidden colony. I think I see what you're saying, said Walker. Everything is doing its own thing out here, and somehow it all comes together in harmony, like it's been orchestrated. It's the furthest thing from a machine, and I don't feel like a cog. When I'm out here, I feel free. Freedom, echoed the voice. How I love that word. Walker, the Lumber Depot may regard you as a cog in a machine, but I do not. In fact, the day will come when I will ask you to take a leap. When you begin to use your gifts, paths will open up that you cannot yet imagine. Your journey of trust is not yet over. You mean I won't be a slave at the Lumber Depot forever? Asked Walker. You are not a slave even at the Lumber Depot now, said the voice. When I set you free, you are free. I'm beginning to see, said Walker. I'm starting to understand the kingdom you've invited me to enter. Explain it to me, said the voice encouragingly. Well, said Walker, this world without you is broken. I have felt that. But you're in the brokenness to redeem it. I've felt that too. You invite me to trust and to hope in a better world that I can't yet see, what you call the kingdom of God. You've shown me your love, and when I live in your love and share it and help others experience, I enter your kingdom. But there's more. You've given me unique gifts. You want me to use them to love and to share your glory. This will go on long after I die. Into the ages of the ages, said the voice, and Lizzie will be a part of many ages to come. You cannot even imagine the joys that lie ahead. This is truth. This is my kingdom. This is my invitation. Will you take my hand and go through the door? Walker gazed at the valley falling away beneath his feet. He began to imagine how his job at the Lumber Depot could be different as he saw it through the eyes of the kingdom. He remembered his rod building equipment stored up in the attic and began to think about where he would set up his new shop. Well, that's it for today, my friend. I hope you've enjoyed this journey with Walker in search of the meaning of life. This is like no small thing, is it? But, you know, and it's no small thing to believe that God has entered this world, that there is a world to come, all of this. But, you know, no matter what we believe, is no small thing to believe. I mean, our very existence is really weird. I mean, there's just no way around that. Being human in this world is full of mystery and glory. And for my way of thinking, the life and death and resurrection of Jesus and his teachings explain this better than anything I've been able to come across yet. I hope you'll consider not just listening to this story, but actually practicing the teachings of Jesus by thinking about them each morning. Next week is our final chapter. We'll conclude with rest. And if you think rest just means you're tired so you take a break, you don't know the first thing about rest. Rest is the best chapter of all. See you next week.
Curb Your Dogma is a part of anchorpoint.org. Dr. Robertson offers free daily inspiration. If you would like to receive it, go to anchorpoint.org and click Daily Anchor Points. And tell your friends about it.